This is Pocket Presence, powered by Sleeper. Here we go. Welcome back to another episode of Pocket Presence, our Friday episode. Tyler, how are you today?
Feeling good. The QB breakdowns were awesome this week. You had to eat a little crow on the Saints Derek Carr take. I didn't do you any favors by sort of highlighting that on Instagram. Go follow Pocket Presence to see the comment section there, because Saints fans were letting you hear it.
They were letting me hear it. Also, shout out to Tyler for all the Instagram work. Tyler does a lot of the Instagram carousels and all that stuff. Not just a co-host, a do-it-all. Appreciate it, Tyler. And yes, I did get a lot of shit for the New Orleans prediction. I've been seeing it everywhere. I can't post a video about anything without Saints fans being there. TikTok, YouTube, freaking thanking my community. Oh, you're talking shit about Derek Carr. It doesn't matter. They're coming for me. I think there's a Ben Kurt hate club on Reddit that's Saints powered probably. And they're just, hey, new post link. So that's a little bit of what's been going on, but I have thick skin and I deserved it. You know, I was not familiar with Kubiak's play calling that unlocked Derek Carr. And we broke it down in that all 22. So go watch it. But we got some matchups this week, boys. We are going to be talking in three sections today. We're going to be going over the matchups of the week. Then we're going to go over some fantasy Q&A. And then at last, we're going to build a few entries that I think are going to hit. And I'm not going to be throwing eight legs in a parlay. I'm not going to be doing that. We are going to be finding our highest probability outcomes. We're going to do it live. I have a few things preconceived notion-wise in my head that I like, but we're gonna go through and see where these lines are at right now. But let's talk a little ball. Tyler, what do we got coming up week one?
Let's get into
week three.
The game that we didn't expect to be so good early on is Houston at Minnesota. Houston is still favored by two, but Sam Darnold is making a resurgence. I want to ask you quickly, you had predicted it before this year that you thought Darnold was going to have a good year, but what is it specifically that Kevin O'Connell in this offense is doing that is making him make such a splash early on?
Yeah, well, first things first, they have a really good run game. We have Aaron Jones, who is 23 carries right now in the season, and he has about 126 yards rushing and a touchdown. That unlocks their play action game. Play action, if your run game's working, typically leads to higher percentage throws with more gashes. You saw their deep play action 97-yard touchdown pass. Like, these things are happening because safeties have to respect the run game. So you have Sam Darnold here, 36 of 50, four touchdowns. He has two interceptions. One of them, dog play by Fred Warner. Sam Darnold's playing really good football, and we predicted that earlier in the year. And Justin Jefferson, lo and behold, only eight receptions through two games, 192 yards. Like, he's playing out of his mind. He got paid. He deserved to get paid. They're playing really well. And on the flip side, that defense is crazy. You heard Brock Purdy talk about it. One of the toughest defenses in the league to play against because you don't know what they're doing. And a lot of teams in the NFL are very predicated on offense of what is the defense doing, right? Like, if it's one high, we're going to do this. If it's two high, we're going to do this. If we get a traveler with man, we're going to do this because it's man. And if not, it's zone. They're breaking all the pre-snap rules and making these quarterbacks have to figure it out on the fly, which is hard in some of these systems. So that's the Vikings side. But on the flip side, you have CJ Stroud. We have 47 completions on 68 attempts, three touchdowns, 500 yards passing. He's rolling. Nico Collins, wide receiver number two in fantasy right now, absolutely just blown it away. I did have him in my keeper league, by the way. Got him like 15th round last year. Got him in the, I think, 13th round this year to keep. That's been a great keep. But this game, in my opinion, is going to go to Houston. I do think Minnesota is dealing with a few injuries. I know that it's at home with the Vikings, but I think the Texans play a little bit up and a little bit down on their opponents. And I think the Texans played against a really, really, really good defense last week, and they handled them well. And I think that Texans have the recipe. I think Texans' defensive line creates problems. And we're going to see Sam Darnold under a little bit of duress this week. And I think Houston finds a way to win this game.
I like it. A battle of the 2-0 teams. Moving on to what I'm dubbing the Malik Willis revenge game. Packers at Titans. Tennessee favored by two. I'm assuming that line bakes in the fact that Vegas thinks Malik Willis will be starting, but we are officially on Jordan Love might be playing watch. He practiced with the team this week. Walk me through what you think might happen for the Packers. Do you think Jordan Love's going to play? Do you think he's not? How does that affect this game?
So I think that Jordan Love's going to play. I think that Malik Willis can play and win them this game. I think Green Bay is going to run the shit out of the ball. If you look at what Josh Jacobs has done this year, Josh Jacobs, his first game, and it wasn't even a great game. He didn't really get rolling in the first half. It was a tough field to play on. He had 16 carries in the first game for 84 yards, 5.25 a carry. Then last week, against the defense that knew he was running the ball, 32 attempts, 151 yards, 4.7 yards a carry. That O-line said, we do not give a shit. We know we're running. You know we're running. We're going to meet you in the hole, and we're going to smack you in the mouth. Now, that was against a Colts defense that is a good defense. So let's flip the script. Now we're going to Tennessee. Tennessee, Will Levis, really stupid plays. Packers opportunistic defense. I think Will Levis is going to get eaten alive. And I think the Packers, again, are going to run the shit out of the ball. And I just think it's going to be a recipe for the Packers to win, regardless of if Jordan Love plays or not. If Jordan Love plays, even better. If not, I think the Packers are going to win. I see them at -2. I love the Packers to win. I'd probably take it at +3.5. You know me, I like teasing lines a little bit, but I think the Packers are going to win this game.
Yeah, I remember in the offseason we talked about how much of a bummer I at least felt like it was that we got rid of Aaron Jones. And then you see a stat line like Josh Jacobs rushing for 32 attempts when the other team knows we're running the ball. That's unfortunately something that a 29, 30-year-old Aaron Jones just would not have been able to handle workload wise. Maybe he could have handled it for one game, but it's like, you know, we need you for the full season. Whereas a younger Josh Jacobs, that guy is a bowling ball, and have 5 yards on an attempt when they know you're running the ball is crazy. And it now looks like the reason that Goody and LaFleur brought him in.
Totally. I feel it. I respect the decision. Aaron Jones is having his success somewhere else. Josh Jacobs having his great success. Like, I think they were both two good fits at this point.
I agree. Philly at New Orleans. Some danger in Philly. My new favorite brand of content is Philly talk radio clips on TikTok, especially after a loss like this. I mean, they are ready to hang Nick Sirianni in the town square. Like, it is getting that dire, especially after last week. And then the Saints are obviously really hot. Feels like a bit of a trap, specifically because we know this Philly defense has not been great all year. Saints favored by 2.5. What do you see this game at?
I think the Saints win by 10. I think that the Eagles do score points, but we have to look at the matchup here. Which defense is better? The Saints defense. The Saints defense is playing really, really good football. Jalen Hurts is going to have his yards. Saquon Barkley is going to have his. Devonta Smith is going to have his. But they're not going to be able to do it enough to get past the scoring that's going to happen on the other side of the ball. At the end of the game, the Falcons gave the blueprint on how you're going to beat that Eagles defense. They got into some rhythm. And again, they were playing prevent. They're trying to let them score, whatever. They attacked that rookie DB, Mitchell. And he just wasn't ready for it in zone. Now, you have the Saints who have a scheme that's tough to stop now in offense. How they're running their play actions, how they're creating time in a good pocket for Derek Carr is pretty impressive. And I think the one guy for this New Orleans offense that unlocks everything is Shaheed. Shaheed is not just a deep threat. I know we talk about him. I know we talk about his deep play threat and all this and that. Watch the tape. Right now, he's currently wide receiver 7 in fantasy football. He is running real routes. He's not just running deep. He's running crossers. He's running hitches. Like, he is now a threat in the pass game all the way across the board. Again, he's only been in the league for 2 years. Like, he is a dog. And he, what are you going to do? You're going to double Olave? Cool. Shaheed's going to eat. You're going to give a little, you know what I mean? Like, there's no right way to do this. As long as they keep mixing up the play action, moving the pocket a little bit with their motions. They have a really cool motion blocking scheme right now that they're running with a tight end that's coming across a motion and taking the D end. And they're moving the pocket, pulling the guards to get, like, they're doing a lot of really cool shit. I don't think that Philly's ready for this. And I think this is the time where Philly lets one loss become two losses and they have a little bit of a hangover from last week. And Nick Sirianni, his seat should be so hot because he is one of the worst decision-making coaches that I've seen in the league consistently. And it just is what it is. Like, there's no denying it. And there's a reason why the Eagles have been through how many offensive coordinators, how many defensive coordinators in the same stretch that Nick Sirianni has kept his job. And he's not called any plays. He doesn't call plays. So if you don't call plays, and you're blowing games and decision making, I don't care who, you know, give the respect to the head guy. No, you're not doing your job. So if people don't do their job underneath of you, you cut them, you fire them, do your job, which you have not done a good job of. I don't know. Since you've been there, decision making, that's it. That's your only thing. Call timeouts, call appropriate challenges, make decisions, good decisions. Nick Sirianni needs to play more Madden.
Yeah, I saw a Philly fan complaining that if you're not on the offense, you're not on the defense. He intentionally said he wanted to stay away from the offense this year. And so if that's not your role, then your role is to focus on the details. And they don't even seem like a particularly detail-oriented yep. team. So I agree with
they
you.
Don't.
And we could live in a world where the Saints are 3-0, the NFC South look like one of the best divisions in football. Certainly not what we predicted at the beginning
not
of the year.
Not what we predicted, man. Not what we predicted. But hey, that's what the NFL is all about, baby.
That's what it's all
Pre-season
about.
Preseason predictions are lame anyways.
Speaking of what we were not predicting, the Ravens sitting at 0-2 playing against the Dallas Cowboys. I would say both of these teams need a win. Baltimore's favored by 1 point right now.
Yep.
What can either of these teams do to get back on track?
So I'm looking at this now. Dak Prescott has got to feed CeeDee Lamb. There's no other way around it. He has to feed CeeDee Lamb because he is the lifeline of their offense. Now, the Ravens, on the flip side, need to give extra attention to CeeDee. Also, the Ravens need to stop acting like they can tiptoe their way through games and just expect to beat people. They need to come out early, punch people in the mouth, look for their explosive plays. The Ravens just, they play so lame. Like they, you know, run, run, pass. Oh shit, we're down by six. Time to play some football. Bam, turn on the Jets. Like, no, you did that against the Chiefs. It didn't work. You tiptoed your way through that fourth quarter and you ended up losing to the Raiders. You've got to do more, man. Like, give Derrick Henry his touches, but get Zay Flowers the ball. Get Likely the ball. Get Bateman the ball, who you talk so highly of, and spread it out so Lamar can go be him. This is Lamar's going to have to put the team on his back the rest of the season. We saw how bad that O-line looked last week against the Raiders. If Lamar wants the Ravens to go to the playoffs, Lamar's going to have to will them to the playoffs. Because again, we talk about coaching. Harbaugh in the past few years hasn't really looked like he's helped them much. They're winning games because they're better than people, not because they're like playing better football. You know what I mean? They're just typically more talented than other people. There's no reason why the Ravens shouldn't be blowing people out. There's just not. They have a lot of talent. So maybe if they start playing like it, they'd be all right. But I think this is a game. If the Ravens start 0-3, holy shit. They still probably make the playoffs, I think. Maybe. Which is a long shot. But the Cowboys are... I don't think the Cowboys are a 2-1 team. I don't think the Cowboys look that good. Their defense looks suspect as shit. And... yeah, I think the Ravens win this game. I like the Ravens -1. I like the Ravens money line. Dak is not the problem. The offensive scheme kind of sucks. Been saying that since last year. It's vanilla as shit with McCarthy. And that defense now looks suspect. That's not that Dan Quinn defense they had last year that they could lean on. So all those people saying, yeah, get rid of Dan Quinn, like bring in Zimmer. Like, dude, okay. You got Zimmered in the mouth last week from that New Orleans Saints offense that just had their way with you. So sometimes you get what you wish for.
Yeah, it does seem like whichever one of these teams loses, there'll be full five-alarm panic, and the other team will feel infinitely better about it. And that is the funny thing about the NFL. And when you think about it for the Ravens specifically, what? They were a couple inches on Isaiah Likely's big toe away from beating the Chiefs. We look at them differently. They were up late against the Raiders. They pissed that game away. We look at them differently. They could be sitting at 1-1 or even 2-0. And now they're 0-2, and it looks like their season is in peril if they don't win this game against the Cowboys. So it's like
100%.
It's just a matter of we play the outcome sometimes a little bit, but I do agree. Starting 0-3 statistically is just so hard to get in the playoffs.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, you have to win three games in a row just to get to 500. You know, like teams do it, but and if any team can do it, it's the Ravens. But I think the Ravens win this week. I don't think the Cowboys are the better football team. And I think the Ravens finally say, F it, that's enough. Like, we need to go find a way to win this game.
All right, let's move on to the Niners at Rams. Rams coming off a tough beat against the Cardinals, but this is a division game, so maybe we can expect it to be close. Still, the 49ers are favored by 7 points with the Rams at home. What do you think about this game?
You know, I think that the 49ers roll the shit out of the Rams. I do. I think that Mason's running the shit out of the ball. Shanahan is going to make it a point that he's going to run the shit out of the ball. And I don't think the Rams have enough firepower on offense to do anything. They're going to get their yards. They're going to get the schemed up plays, you know, but if the 49ers could ragdoll the Jets like that, I think they're really going to ragdoll the Rams. Like, I really do. The Rams defense looks terrible. The Rams offense, Kyron Williams has nowhere to go. And I just think this game, give me the Niners. If the Niners lose this game, then holy shit, because that's embarrassing.
How long can the Rams keep getting away with this? They obviously won a Super Bowl, which builds some cachet among your fan base and across the league. And we know Sean McVay's a good coach. That is, I believe, objectively true at this point. But they did this thing where they went all in for that Super Bowl, and now they're facing the consequences of just not having good players. And of course, injuries play a part of that, but this is also the NFL. Like, you have to expect to have some level of injury every single year.
Yeah.
And if you're not able to backfill that with talent because you can't afford to do that, it seems like there's going to have to be a hard reset at some point, right?
Yeah. And, you know, this is my thing. Matt Stafford is one of the best quarterbacks in the league at throwing the football. You've got to have a quarterback that can create with his feet nowadays. Like, you have to. And I don't care how good Stafford is. You can never be good enough to overcome a lack of talent around you if you can't move yourself as a quarterback. Brock Purdy, say what you want. He misses throws. He slips the ball out of his hand. He can move his feet, and he can move the chains with his feet. The play does not have to be drawn up perfectly, or he does not have to have a window to throw all the time. He can make plays with his feet. That's what gives them a chance. As soon as Stafford loses a few pieces, you can't do it. As soon as Jared Goff, if he were to lose a few pieces, holy shit, would that look bad? You know what I mean? It's the modern way of the NFL. Defenses are more athletic than ever. They're more schemed up better than ever, and they're bringing different looks, and they're just better. They're more athletic. So you look at a guy like Jaden Daniels, and Jaden Daniels on a rookie contract, again, leading, what, first time since 1970, has the most yards from scrimmage through the first 2 weeks of a quarterback since 1970. Look at Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is not a scrambling running quarterback. He's a scrambling passing quarterback. He can't do shit right now. You've got to be able to create. And that is where I think the league is going. That's what sucks when you lose pieces with a quarterback that's not mobile. You can't do shit about it. He can get you into all the right looks and this and that, but if he can't move, it's over.
Yeah, you brought him up. And in the battle of two very distinct styles, we have Lions at Cardinals. I'm dubbing this the most fun game of the week because the Cardinals are such a fun, frisky team. The Lions are always liable to do something weird in a game. So how do you look at this one playing out? Detroit's favored by 3.
Give me the Cardinals. Cardinals plus 3. Give me the Cardinals money line, even a little baby sprinkle. Kyler Murray is playing lights out. James Conner is playing lights out. Marvin Harrison's now playing lights out. Jared Goff is playing like absolute dog shit. It is what it is. Jared Goff has some of the ugliest interceptions I've seen, and he has guys around him that are getting better talent-wise. Like, Goff is the missing link right now. We talked about this last year. I remember this. Last year we said, if you swapped Kyler Murray and Goff situations, with like the Lions would look like a Super Bowl contender. And I got ripped for that. I got absolutely ripped for that. And we're going to see on Sunday, because we're going to grab that clip. We're going to recirculate it. Goff has been handpicked in this situation to have everything around him go well. And he still hasn't been able to get them over that hump, right? Like, at the end of the day, Kyler Murray is playing like a dog. I do think the Lions defense and defensive front is a problem, but I don't know, man. I love what the Cardinals are doing on offense. I think if they can create some pressure like they did against Stafford last week, it's going to look very, very much like that last week's game against the Rams. The Lions have way more power on offense. They're going to be able to just hand the ball off to Montgomery, get his 4 or 5 yards a pop. They're going to be able to take some pressure off of Goff in the run game, but this is a game where if the Cardinals can find a way to jump out early like they had the last 2 weeks, again, remember the Bills game, the Bills, they got up, what, 17-0, maybe 17-3? They had Josh Allen, which could get them back into this game. Jared Goff cannot get this team back in a game if they're down 17-0, down 14-0. If you make him drop back to pass and remove the threat of play action, Jared Goff's game is over. So I'd imagine that's going to be the Cardinals' MO. I bet they want the ball first. I bet they want to try to run it up as quick as they can and make Goff play from behind and drop back, because that's where it doesn't look great.
Yeah, it is the week of the home underdogs, because this last game we'll talk about here, Chiefs at Falcons, Kansas City favored by 3.5. Saw that the Falcons were giving out free cheeseburgers and
They want to make sure they're nice and full for this game.
Nice and full. Arthur Blank into the Ring of Honor. What are you thinking here? The Falcons, obviously, this is the same thing where we talked about the Ravens barely losing and we look at them differently. You could argue that the Falcons weren't supposed to win that game. And if they
were
start,
not.
And if they start 0-2, we look at them differently. So what do you make of this one?
The Falcons were not supposed to win that game last week. However, they should have won. Like they should have won before getting to the point where they shouldn't have won. They were in control of that game the entire time. If Kirk Cousins is just better in the red zone, those field goals that they had early are not field goals. They are touchdowns, and that game feels different, and the Eagles have to play from behind. Now, look, the Chiefs' defense is a problem, but the Chiefs just lost Pacheco. The Chiefs aren't playing great offensive football. Patrick Mahomes has thrown three interceptions. The Falcons' defense is going to be probably the best defense that Patrick Mahomes has played against this entire year. You got to remember, like, Bates is a problem. Grady Jarrett's a problem. Judon's starting to flash now. They got really good DBs. This is not going to be a cakewalk, and the Chiefs are going to have to be creative. Now, all I'm looking for on the offensive side is, how does Kirk Cousins handle Chris Jones in the middle? How does he handle people being in his lap and throwing the ball? Is he going to toss it up into double coverage as a prayer because he doesn't want to get sacked? Or is he going to move off the spot a little bit and deliver a dime? That's all I want to see early in this game. I think the Falcons cover +3.5. The Falcons should win this game. The Chiefs should have lost last week to the Bengals, and the Bengals didn't play good football either. The Bengals, if Joe Burrow doesn't just gift them that game with a fumble for six, that game's entirely different. Like, Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense, they're not clicking right now. They're really not. So the Falcons need to take advantage of that while it's not hot. Take advantage of Pacheco not being there, and you need to go put pressure on Mahomes and try to score early. So I think, game script wise, the Falcons can win this game, but they should cover +3.5.
All right. We do this every week, Kurt. Some fantasy Q&As. You put it out on your Twitter. Yep. We got some questions. The first one coming from Parker Pop. It's a twofer. Are we trusting Carsten Steele in the Kansas City backfield now that Pacheco's out?
So I'm not yet. Carsten Steele has been put in the game in specific situations that he has been scripted to be in for. What do we know about Andy Reid? Andy Reid does a lot of shit. Last year, we had McKinnon coming in all the time stealing fantasy reps because he was scripted for specific things. I think that guy this week is going to be Samaje Perine. I think when you look at this team, when you look at how they're built and look at what Perine brings to the table, right? Last week, Pacheco, let's see. He did not get any carries last week, but he had one target, one reception. The week before, he had two targets, one reception. I just have this feeling that Samaje Perine is the most experienced guy in that room. Andy Reid really relies heavily from his running backs on experience. And I just don't think they're going to put all of that weight on Carsten Steele in week one against a defense that's pretty stout. I don't think they're going to do that. Down the line, I think Carsten Steele is going to be more of the play. But by that point, is Pacheco going to be back? They have a bye week early. So, like, you got to play some of these things into account. But I don't know if I'd trust Carsten Steele, man, especially not against the Falcons defense. I would not put him in. I would not treat him like an RB1, sure. Especially not this week.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
All right. The second question from Parker is how we feel about the other Dolphins players. I'll enter Jalen Waddle, Devin Achane. Yeah. Tyreek Hill into the equation without Tua.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Achane still, and I love Hill. I hate Waddle without Tua. I hate having to rely on a second/third target to get through the progression with a backup quarterback, especially a young backup quarterback. I think they're going to have a lot of design screens, a lot of design quick game. I think these guys might actually get easier completions, less crossing routes. But I really think that Tyreek's going to be the emphasis, man. I think they got to get the ball in Tyreek's hands. So I do like that. I think give me Tyreek Hill's receptions.
Yeah. All right. Another question coming in from Mitchell Whitman. Is Caleb Williams going to finally produce against the Colts, or would you roll with Jared Goff instead?
I would roll with Jared Goff. I would not touch Caleb Williams with a 10-foot pole. That O-line is so bad. They don't have Keenan Allen, who I think Keenan Allen is a need for him right now. You need that trustworthy guy on third down. Give me Jared Goff to have at least some good passing yards. They're going to have to throw the ball. It's probably going to be a shootout. So give me Jared Goff in a shootout.
All right. The next question coming in from JD, not the vice presidential candidate. Hmm. Are you taking Carr, Baker, or Stroud this weekend?
Carr, Baker, or Stroud? Man. Carr, Baker, or Stroud? I think I'm going to take Baker. You know what? I'm going to take Derek Carr. Give me Derek Carr. Eagles defense has seemed to be suspect against the pass. I think Derek Carr is going to get his. I don't love Baker against the Broncos because I don't think the Broncos are going to score points, meaning Baker's not going to have to throw the ball 30 times. And Stroud, I think, is going to have a nice game, but I think this is a good week to start Carr.
Next one coming in from Jerome. Is Rashid Shaheed a must start right now?
He is until he's not. You got to start him, especially if the league is like super deep. He's definitely a flex start. He's getting the targets now that warrant a higher floor. So he's a safer start than he's ever been because he's finally getting the targets across the middle of the field in the quick game. Like, he's not just a home run threat.
Last question. Is Tyreek Hill still a wide receiver one, or is that status now in question?
Tyreek's still a wide receiver one, but he is not wide receiver one. He's not even wide receiver 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You still got to start him because he can go 99 yards to the house at any given time. But yeah, I would not bank on Tyreek being that guy that you need to win you the games. You need other guys. You need waivers for sure to produce in other areas because he's not going to give you 30 points a game.
All right, Kurt, let's wrap it up by building an entry or two for the people this weekend.
I just opened up my Sleeper app. I'm going to screenshot it now. Alt picks are now available. Fully, they rolled it out a little bit over time, but alt picks are available. You can tease lines down. So if Josh Allen has 218 yards as his line, you can drop it down to 200. And you get obviously like worse odds, or I guess better odds if you look at it that way. Not as big of a multiplier, but more of a chance that it hits. So, all right, so we're going to get into this. And I'm looking at some of these alt lines. I will have these in my bag. I want to look at some of these games. So we have the Giants and we have Cleveland. You know who's been eating, boys and girls? Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers had 10 targets last week. Or sorry, 18 targets last week, 10 receptions. They're going to find a way to get Nabers the ball. Now, one thing I really like is I do like his receptions over 6.5, but I'm not going to take that. I'm going to take his yards. Give me 65.5 yards on Nabers. And again, I know this is the Cleveland Browns defense, but he has not hit that. And I think they're going to be in a point where they need to throw the ball and Nabers is going to find his. I really, really like Nabers here. And then another one that I like is I like Hopkins. I like Cleveland's kicker. If you look at last week, the Giants let them get into the red zone often, let the Commanders get in the red zone often, but they made them kick like what, 6 field goals? Mm-hmm. So for Hopkins' field goals to be 1.5, I like this as a little same game. We have Nabers over 65.5 receiving yards, Hopkins over 1.5 field goals. And I already put in some entries earlier, so I'm just going to do $1 pays out $2.73. So it's a nice little multiplier there. Okay, hold on. And now some of these other games I've been looking at, I really, really like Houston and Minnesota because I think it's going to be more of a shootout than a defensive game. I like CJ Stroud over 1.5 passing touchdowns. If you look at CJ Stroud now, he did not have it last week against Chicago, but Chicago is a good defense. And Minnesota is big play liable, meaning they're going to probably do a better job in the run game. Also, Mixon looks a little sketchy. So I'm going to take the over on the passing touchdowns for CJ Stroud. And then I'm going to go this week with Sam Darnold. Give me Sam Darnold to not throw an interception this week. I think he's getting better. I think he's taking care of the football. I know he threw an interception last week against San Francisco, but he's making really good decisions. And for that multiplier to be 1.82, also I have a little insight from a model that I built predicting that Sam Darnold will not throw an interception. So I'm going to back my model. We haven't talked models yet, but we'll get into that in another episode. But CJ Stroud, 1.5 passing touchdowns. Sam Darnold, under 1 interception. Again, this one, $1 would pay out $2.93. Give me that. And now I'm looking at some of these other games, and I'm going to skip around and go straight to receptions. And if you look at receptions here, you get all of these alternate lines. So let me go to all games, by the way, all players, all receptions. Now look, what are these game scripts going to be looking like? What are we thinking? So we have Brock Bowers had 9 receptions last game on 9 targets. He had 8 receptions on 6 targets. Brock Bowers is a focal point of that offense right now, and they're going to be playing against Carolina. I'm going to take the alternate line of 4+ receptions for him, and to get it's a 1.3x on 4+ receptions is pretty good. And then I'm going to also go to the next to him, CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb has had 5 receptions and 4 receptions the last 2 weeks, and they lost. He's questionable, but he's expected to play. And I'm going to go CeeDee Lamb, 5+ receptions. I'm going to give it's 1.1x multiplier. And again, all we're trying to do here on these types of entries is get us to that 2x, 3x range. And I think CeeDee's going to have 5 receptions. I do like him 6.5, but I'm going to tease it down a little bit for the sake of these being alt lines. All right. Now, Travis Kelce, you dirty rat. You've had 3 receptions 1 week, 1 reception the next. And now he's come out publicly saying that he's not happy with his performance, this and that. His line set at 4.5. That's still too high. We're going to stay away. We're going to do it. We're going to stay away. We're going to stay away. We're going to go down to New York Giants and Cleveland again on this thing. You guys can see it on my screen recording. We're going to take Malik Nabers teased. We're going to give him 5+ receptions on the tease, 1.2x. And then we're going to go a little bit further. We're going to expect DeVonta Smith to need to be the guy this week. And we're going to grab him 5+ receptions. Last week he had 7. The week before he had 7. We're going to tease that down from where they have him at right now. Where did it go? There we go. To 1.2. So right now we have 4 things that are all teased that are 1.2, 1.1, 1.2, 1.1. And this creates a 2.1x multiplier. All these things are extremely likely to happen. And $1 would pay out $2.12. Submit entry. And bam, we got our last entry. I love it. Now, obviously, I forgot to upload my money to my Sleeper account this week. So that's why we did $1. But you can see the multipliers on 1X. I really, really like this teased receptions thing because I feel like the reception lines on Vegas are pretty damn spot on for the most part. Sometimes you feel like you can get a gimme. But if you can tease it down off of one, you have no idea how many times last year I did not have alt lines. And I missed by 1 on like a 6 or 7 leg parlay on receptions. So the fact that I can give myself a little bit of buffer, man, I really, really like that one. If you're looking to 2X plus your money, big fan of that one.
Love it. And the best part is for listeners of this episode, we have a little exclusive deal this week, Kurt, a redeposit match. Ooh. Up to $25. The code will be on the screen. The link will be
Kurt
in the 25. Description.
Kurt 25. Kurt 25 was informed today.
Kurt 25 for $25. Yep. Redeposit match. That means even if you've played on Sleeper, deposit on Sleeper, you get some free money to play with this weekend. Very exciting.
Yep. And we still have our standing $100 first time deposit match as well. If you guys want to get in the game, I'm going to be doing these every single week now moving forward. We got action on Fridays. We got action earlier in the week for some things that'll come in early starting next week. So we got action, boys and girls. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed it. I love talking ball. Love giving this insight, and hope you guys love it too. See you next time.